This is the Everything Financial Radio Podcast. I am your host, Dennis Tubergen. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. For all you new listeners, this is where we talk about macroeconomic cycles. We talk about what's going on in the world economy and what it might mean for you and your money. And we give you tips and perspectives on helping you make decisions when it comes to managing your nest egg. On today's program, I will be talking with Mr. Ian Gordon of the Longwave Group. It's been about a year since I've had the pleasure of interviewing Mr. Gordon. He has done a significant amount of work in his career studying his macroeconomic cycles from an historical perspective. We're going to get his take on what directions the markets are heading and maybe get some tips from him also on what you might consider when it comes to managing your nest egg. Quick reminder, if you've not yet received our free Investors Discovery Kit, I would invite you to get it for free by simply visiting the website investingapproach.com. Just let us know where you'd like us to mail your free Investors Discovery Kit, and we'll be glad to do so. The website, again, investingapproach.com. I'm very pleased to have back on the Everything Financial Radio program returning guest Mr. Ian Gordon. Mr. Gordon is a globally known economic forecaster, author, and speaker. He's also founder and chairman of the Longwave Group. You can check out his work at thelongwavegroup.com, and I would encourage you to do so. And Ian, it's been a while, but always a pleasure to have you on the program. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much for having me back.
Ian, let's just jump in a little bit, because you had talked last time you were on the program that you believe the outlook globally will lead to deflation. It's been 9 or 10 months since we've talked. Europe has engaged in their version of quantitative easing. The Fed has tapered. There's talk of deflation in some countries. The Chinese central bank's now warning of deflation. Singapore is experiencing deflation. We're starting to see that. So is this the beginning of what you had forecast?
Well, it is and it isn't. Actually, in some ways, my view has sort of been altered somewhat by what I see as the threat of sort of currency collapse. Because if your currency collapses, and a good example, let's say, is in the Ukraine, then you don't have deflation, you have a massive inflation, because the value of a currency falls to so dramatically that everything that you have to purchase in that currency gets increasingly expensive. So what we're seeing right now, as I see it, is the threat of failure of paper currencies, and I believe that's on a worldwide scale. So that if the paper, for instance, let's just take Greece as an example. It certainly appears that Greece is very close to exiting the euro, either through its own choice or by the the European country's choice. And when that happens, Greece will have to return to the drachma as its currency. And that will mean that the value of the drachma will drop dramatically against the euro, and that means that everything that has to be paid for in drachmas is going to be very expensive, so that you're going to have a fairly high inflation in Greece. And this really applies to any country whose currency, paper currency, fails. And I think ultimately, and throughout history, we know that this has been the case, all paper currencies are going to fail. So that right now we're in the sort of the throes of a deflationary kind of era, but I think that we could have massive inflation as currencies fail.
And Ian, let me ask this, because you go back and look at Weimar Germany, there's other examples historically that when currencies fail, up to that point, there's massive inflations or hyperinflations, but then it seems that the debt that caused the deflation to start with just gets recalibrated to some other currency, and you see deflation following the inflation. Would you agree with that view?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I do, I'm not sure that I don't, because I've never really sort of worked it through, to the final outcome. Because really, what I see, Dennis, is what's occurring is that the whole world monetary system is basically starting to be restructured. And that restructure is sort of occurring under the Chinese leadership, with Russia playing, you know, being a bit player in that regard as well. And, you know, the Chinese have just set out the AIIB Bank, which is a sort of a counterpart to the IMF, which, of course, the IMF is effectively a U.S.-led bank. And the AIIB will be not led by China, because China doesn't want to have a veto in that institution as the U.S. does in the IMF. But we're seeing this with the BRICS currencies, you know, that how they're all aligned with each other, how China is starting to make bilateral monetary deals with countries that she trades with, and so on. So that slowly what we're seeing is a new currency, a world monetary reset. And actually, and I've written about this, that effectively in all of these long wave winters, there's always been a monetary reset that has occurred in each of the long wave winters. And of course, in the previous long wave winter, the world monetary system was based on gold, and that collapsed between 1931 and 33. So what I see here, Dennis, is that the new monetary system that is evolving under the Chinese sort of guidance is probably going to be a return to some sort of a gold standard system. And, you know, we know that China and Russia have both been amassing huge amounts of gold. We don't know how much gold the Chinese have. They're not reporting on how much they have, but I've seen it. I've seen some people sort of refer to the Chinese gold holding as in excess of 20,000 tons. I mean, that's a huge amount. The America purports to have about 8,300 tons, and I suspect that that's not the case anymore. But if that's the case, then China could come out with Russia, and we sort of suggesting that their currencies are now gold-backed, which would force a reset for everybody else, would have to come back to that standard as well. Simply because if you couldn't go back your currency would be deemed worthless, and no one would want to be paid in it.
So, Ian, we have 2.5 minutes or so left in this segment. Take somebody listening to this interview, and you talk about a currency reset. That's kind of a scary thing to consider and talk about. How would our average listener be affected when that happens?
Well, again, what I'm saying is that if the Chinese and the Russians decide that their currencies are going to be backed by gold, and I think they are moving in that direction just simply because of the amount of gold that they're acquiring. If the country that you live in doesn't have the gold to back their currency, they're going to have to get it, because effectively that currency is going to be deemed worthless for external trade purposes, because people won't want to, you know, take on the paper currency. They want the gold backing. And if that's the case, then we're going to see that sort of massive inflation occurring in any country that can't support its currency with gold. So that's, you know, one has to wonder, you know, whether the U.S. does have the 8,300 tons to support its currency. I really don't believe that she does. And if she doesn't, then she's going to have to get gold to back the dollar.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there in this segment. Our guest today is Mr. Ian Gordon. He is the founder and chairman of the Long Wave Group. You know, in this segment, I want to talk about what's going on in the country of Greece. Greece's economic situation, the debt situation in Greece, is the big topic of conversation in world economic circles today. In fact, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank just completed an annual meeting in Washington, D.C., and that was the big topic of conversation there as well. Now, you might be wondering, why am I talking about what's going on in Greece when it may seem that that won't affect you. Well, it will potentially affect you given what's going on, and there's a lesson we can learn from what's going on in Greece, and it may help us understand the future direction of the U.S. economy and U.S. markets as well. So let me jump in. I want to share with you an article that was published in IB Times, and the article said that Greece's economic crisis Saturday dominated the discussion of at the International Monetary Fund and World Bank's annual meeting in Washington, with European Central Bank President Mario Draghi warning that the situation is urgent. However, concerns about Greece falling out of the euro dominated discussions from the get-go, with attendees from all over the world expressing concern about the impact of Greece's increasingly fragile economy. Draghi, and that is European Central Bank President Mario Draghi, stated that we all want Greece to succeed. The answer is in the hands of the Greek government. Much more work is needed now, and it is urgent, Draghi said. Now, at the top of the discussion about Greece's situation was debt repayments that Greece, they'll be required to make next month, and there is quite a big repayment schedule. The first installment is due next month, and it's a U.S. equivalent of $347 billion. I'll put that in perspective in just a moment. Now, bottom line is that people don't know exactly what Greece's finances look like, but the rumor is, and the rumor circulating at this meeting is, that if Greece makes the installment, they'll be out of money. They'll be unable to pay for welfare bills. They'll be unable to pay public sector wages, which would be any government employee would not get paid. And Greece's financial instability has led a lot of economic experts and commentators to speculate the country may fall out of the euro currency. And that would leave Europe open to the same financial turmoil it faced during the global financial crisis of 2007 and 2008. Now, Greece's finance minister said that there had been some progress in formulating a well-functioning policy dialogue between Greece and its lenders, which are the European Union Commission, the European Central Bank, and the IMF. The finance minister did say, however, that Greece wanted creditors to slim down their list of demands. In other words, Greece is asking to pay less. Now, U.S. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew said during a speech to the IMF Steering Committee that a default on Greece's loan debt would create an immediate hardship for the country and damage the global economy. The reason it would damage the global economy is that Greece would simply be the first and smallest domino to fall. Italy, Spain, and Portugal are all in similar financial shape. Now, let me take a minute to just explain to you why this is important to understand. See, in Greece, politicians have two choices. Policymakers have two choices when it comes to paying bills. They can either cut spending. In other words, they could ask all public sector employees to take a pay cut, or they can raise taxes. They've done some of each. They do not have the ability to print money. If you look at the country of Japan or the country of the United States, policymakers and politicians have three choices. They can raise taxes, they can cut spending, or they can print money. Well, certainly that's what a lot of the world's central banks and many large countries have been doing really since the financial crisis. They have been printing money. Well, if you can't print money, deflation and economic hardship are really the only possible outcome. And Greece has been experiencing that really since the financial crisis. Greece has been going through the equivalent of what the United States did in the 30s, a Great Depression. Their economic output has been declining. Well, one of the problems with declining economic output is that tax revenue also falls. So it's a cycle that feeds on itself. When economic output declines, tax revenue declines, and more budget cuts are required in order to bring the budget back into balance. Those budget cuts cause the economy to contract, which causes tax revenue to drop, which requires more cuts in spending. Well, to this point, Greece has been getting loans, which are the equivalent of really putting a Band-Aid on the problem, but the debt is still there, and now it's time for Greece to repay the debt. Now, interestingly, when you look at how financial systems work, worldwide. When you look at how money works worldwide, 95% of money today, or I should say more than 95% of money, is debt. Now, that means that less than 5% is actually currency. Well, when you look at worldwide what debt levels are, there's simply too much debt to possibly pay. If there's too much debt to possibly pay, then some of the debt won't get paid. And since over 95% of money is debt, what does that mean? That means the money supply contracts. Well, countries have been printing in some parts of the world to stave off deflation, but that hasn't been the case in Greece. They don't have that option. They can't print euros because they don't control the euro printing press. So what's actually happening here is that Greece, if they're forced out of the euro or elect to leave the euro, which there will be a lot of economic fallout, there'll be a lot of economic consequences to them making that decision or being forced to make that decision, which we'll talk about in the next segment. But if you just take a look at what Greece is actually considering, they want to be able to go back and print money. They don't have that option now, so they would go back to the drachma and they would print money, which would simply devalue their currency, and they would have an inflation or maybe even a massive inflation as opposed to the deflation that they're now experiencing. Now, just to give you an example and put this in perspective, let's compare Greece and Japan for a minute. If you take a look at the debt, the government debt that each of these countries has, Japan has more debt than Greece as a percentage of their economy. That's measured by using something called a debt-to-GDP ratio, debt-to-gross domestic product. And really what that does is it measures a country's debt compared to its economic output. In other words, what is a country borrowing divided by what it's bringing in? The higher the ratio, the more difficult it will be for the country to repay its debts. Japan has a higher debt-to-GDP ratio than Greece. Yet, Japan has something called a central bank that can print yen. That's what they've been doing. They have been experiencing a muddle-through economy, not deflation like Greece has, but deflation keeps rearing its head in Japan. And Japan has created a different problem. Not only have they had deflation in wages and real estate, they've had inflation in things that they import, like food and fuel. So it creates a different set of economic problems, and Greece now is considering trading one set of economic problems for another. Now, interestingly, here in the United States, and here's why this is important to you, policymakers and politicians have the same three choices as those in Japan. They can tax, they can cut spending, or they can print money, and they've elected to print money. But here's the point. Printing money does not make the debt go away. Sooner or later, you have to deal with a debt, and that's when financial markets will be affected and potentially your nest egg as well. If you'd like to learn more about these topics, I would invite you to request our free Investors Discovery Kit. The Investors Discovery Kit is yours when you visit the website investingapproach.com. The website, again, is investingapproach.com. Just let us know your name and where you'd like us to mail the kit. We'll be glad to do so at no cost to you and no further obligation. We are all about education here at the Everything Financial Radio program. So again, just go to the website, investingapproach.com. You'll get your discovery kit that contains the book, New Retirement Rules, as well as a copy of the New Economy magazine, as well as an educational CD and DVD. Thanks for listening.